Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Robert Crowther with the Center for Science and Culture, and today we're going to be taking a quick look at the newest book from Discovery Institute Press called Evolution and Intelligent Design in a Nutshell. Our life and the universe a mindless accident? That's the standard story we get from textbooks, that everything just evolved blindly, one tiny accidental variation after another over tremendously long periods of time. But is that true? Does the evidence support the theory? Evolution and Intelligent Design in a Nutshell digs into such questions. The book has five authors, and I have on the show with me today the lead-off batter, if you will, Dr. Thomas Lowe. He is an engineer by training. He received his PhD in electrical and electronics engineering from the University of Illinois. And now he is also an entrepreneur. He's focused on medical and fitness wearable technology. Currently is the president and CTO of Logos Care Incorporated. Welcome to ID the Future, Dr. Lowe.
Thank you very much, Rob.
I'm really happy to have you here today. Just wanted to give our listeners a little brief overview of the book and the authors. And so I'm just going to start right at the beginning. How did five people come together to write this book? That's a lot of authors. How did you get to know the other authors, and how did the idea for the book come about?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question because, first of all, I was introduced to the summer seminar of science and culture by my friend, Professor Paul Chan. And then I was lucky that I was accepted. So before I came to the workshop, the reading assignment is kind of overwhelming. So I followed all the instructions, read all the books. And then I realized that the information is so rich and so good, and which I hope I have done that decades ago. And so with that kind of excitement, I came to the seminar and I shared my desire to have a book written, something simple and easy for the general public to read and easy to understand. So when I shared that to the class in the first meeting, Dr. Ann Gager just told me, oh, you got a passion, so you got yourself a job. I was a little bit disappointed. I thought, who am I? I'm not a biologist. I'm not a cosmologist. I'm not qualified. Okay. But interesting thing is, after the class, one of the attendees, Eric Anderson, approached me saying that, he'd like to help. Wow, that was interesting. And then I think within another 24 or 48 hours, Robert Huston also approached me, saying that he wants to help. So I got excited. By that time, I have known another attendee, Dr. Robert Walter, and he happily agreed to join. So in other words, the idea of the book was born, so to speak, right before the end of the seminar. So I was excited to say, oh, that's interesting. And then when I came back to the Bay Area, 2-3 months later, I thought, all the subjects didn't seem to complete. Okay? We have something missing. And then I realized that, how come I never thought about Paul Chan, who is the most qualified person to write a chapter on chambering explosion? So the rest is history.
Yeah. So you have five authors, two biologists, and the others, you all are engineers in various areas. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of engineering in biology. So just because you're not a biologist doesn't mean you can't be qualified to examine the science and look at that bioengineering, I guess you would say.
Yes, I myself is actually a bioengineer. It turns out to be I think people with multiple disciplines always have better ideas, have always a better understanding of subjects.
That's a long-running theme at Discovery Institute that the founders, George Gilder and Bruce Chapman, have always championed this idea of cross-fertilization among different disciplines. So it's how you end up with a think tank that has programs on economics and technology and also science and culture and all of the intersections that those have and the ideas that people can learn from different disciplines, I think go a long way to helping us find more information, find answers to questions, and so on. So it's nice to see that you have a good group of authors here.
Yes.
The book has an international flavor with Dr. Paul Chen having grown up in Hong Kong. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your upbringing, where you grew up. I know you touch on this a bit in the book at the introduction, but maybe how these issues came up for you in your life and the role that evolution and intelligent design have played in your life.
Okay. I was born in China and came with my parents to Taiwan when I was 2 years old. That was right after the Civil War in China. But anyway, so I basically grew up in Taiwan and educated over there until finishing my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. And during that 20 years in Taiwan, it's kind of interesting that before my parents embraced Christianity, the family life is actually very strict. And I'll just give you an interesting example. When we are around the dinner table, nobody can talk. And we have to sit straight like a soldier, one hand with your rice bowl, one hand with your chopsticks, and you can never lean your elbow on the table. Yeah, you have to just do it like a military person, making no noise and always pick up the food closest to you. You cannot overreach to find a better piece of meat, so to speak. And so it's like that. And everyone is quiet. Right after my father became a Christian, he's totally relaxed. So that's a day and night difference. And I remember that vividly. That's how big difference in my father after his commitment to Christianity. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. However, during the education there, high school or college, I was not really into biology. You know, biology and life science is not really my cup of tea. I don't like to remember things. Okay? I like to understand things so that even if I don't have the textbook with me, I can always derive, I can always try to reason to find out the cause of the problem or the solution of the problem. So that, I'm that kind of guy. And I also are very handy, like to make things happen, design something, make something. So naturally, I picked electrical engineering, which was becoming very popular. So that's how I got all my education there. And during that time, the only biology course I had was in high school, 1 year. I don't remember anything. And after I got into college, there's no requirement to pick any biology class at all. Okay, I just pick any class I want. No general requirement of anything other than what you like. So I don't know anything about evolution. Even after I came to the United States to study, I never had a chance to expose myself or don't have the interest in doing that. However, in China, in Taiwan, people's sentiment is that, oh, we're all evolved from monkeys. Okay? And people probably don't even know what difference between monkey and the chimpanzee, right? Or their common ancestor. Nobody understands those. Nobody says that. Right? So everyone has a very vague idea about evolution. Right? Of course, among the biologist students, they are probably different. I have no idea. But simply because people don't understand evolution, and they like to tease people with faith. Because the general sentiment among Chinese then is that, well, religion, you know, especially Christianity, is a foreign religion. We don't need that. We have our own teachings, traditional teachings, Confucius teachings. We have our own ethics and moral standards, whatever. So they don't need Christianity. But anyway, so to me, I don't know about evolution. And I also never heard about intelligence design until probably less than 10 years ago.
Wow.
Okay? Less than 10 years ago, when I started to plan my retirement, and I happened to found a few books from my son's bookshelves. He's a biologist. And he actually looked into this, and he said, well, Dad, why don't you check on these two books, Darwin's Black Box and Signatures in the Cell.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So during my visit to Atlanta, where my son lives, I just read those books. And then that's the first time I was exposed to this intelligence design topic. And so when I came back to my church, I talked to my pastor saying that, hey, we better have some course to our congregation. And he then invited Paul Chan. Paul Chan is well known to the Chinese community, Chinese Christian community, that he's a science guy. So that's how I reconnected with Paul. And then he recommended me to the summer seminar. And from there, I really think that intelligence design is the answer. Because to me, like as an engineer, I know what design is because I do that every day.
Right.
So when I see something that complicated with a purpose, it got to be some intelligence in the back. Someone designed it. I don't need to argue who that is, but what really got me caught on is the intelligence. I think it's in Stephen Meyer's book, one of his books, mentioned about intelligence coding in the DNA.
Right.
That's the key that leads me to believe that this is it. This must be it. And even though for my faith, there's no need to have science to support it, but it confirms that our faith is really supported by science. And the evidence is so clear, so strong.
So your interest in these issues is, not being a biologist, is kind of like the layperson's interest. And this book that you've put together is sort of intended as an accessible introduction to the overall evolution debate. The book works well in that regard as an introduction for people just learning about intelligent design and how it differs from evolution. And I know you cover a lot of topics, even in cosmology and so on. But it's not just for beginners. What are some of the things, shall we say, seasoned readers might get out of the book, people that know a little bit more about the overall debate? What will they find interesting in the book?
Yeah, for our seasoned readers, I think they are all very familiar with the cosmic Big Bang, mm-hmm. Irreducible complexity, and even the Cambrian explosion.
Right.
But when I read Paul's chapter, almost the first draft 2 years ago, I was intrigued to know a lot of things other than what I superficially understood about Cambrian explosion. So I think even the seasoned readers will find something very interesting, especially like the tree model versus the lawn model.
Oh, yeah.
Displayed in different parts of the world, in different countries, national museums, so to speak. So that was very interesting. And other than that, I think the chapters on abiogenesis and self-replication using 3D printer to illustrate the impossibility of having a first cell just by the chance. Okay, so I think these chapters are very, very good, very strong evidence of intelligence design. I think people will find them very interesting. As a matter of fact, last night I read them again.
Yeah. And then there is, as you mentioned, this chapter on self-replication. How does a cell come into being? And then in order to continue, replicate itself. And the chapter uses as an example the idea of a self-replicating 3D printer, and then trying to think about that happening by blind, unguided processes. It's mind-boggling, really.
Yes, that's true.
So with all of your connections and Dr. Chen's connections to China, are you thinking that the book might ultimately be published in Chinese and maybe release an edition of it in China?
Yes, definitely. We have started the translation work. I hope we can do that within this year.
Well, that's great. The book is Evolution and Intelligent Design in a Nutshell, just released from Discovery Institute Press. You can find out more about it and order your copy at discoveryinstitutepress.com. That's discoveryinstitutepress.com. You can also get the Kindle version or the paperback at amazon.com. The book is available there as well. And be sure to check out more ID the Future podcasts available, as always, at idthefuture.com. Again, thank you very much, Dr. Lowe.
Thank you very much for inviting.
I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.